Review Journal out there, which is sort of like the Daily Memphian of Las Vegas, and they wrote about this. It is no longer what it was. Like, the narrative on Vegas has quickly shifted. Here's what they wrote. Las Vegas has experienced a decline in tourism. Visitor numbers have dropped, hotel occupancy rates decreasing, except for sport nights, for example, the Raiders. The downturn is impacting the city's economy, and a lot of it is California gamblers, John, they're not crossing over into Vegas anymore. And then you've got the problem with people are doing the sports gambling on their phones. So, like, Vegas, the prices have caught up to them where people are saying, screw it. Like, I'm going to go to Southland if I'm going to gamble and use cards. I'm not going to go to Vegas.
You know what another problem is?
What?
Canadians don't
international gamblers are not
but
coming
specifically,
in?
Like, Canada apparently was big for Vegas.
Really?
Like, a lot of Canadians would go to Vegas.
Now you're schooling me.
And now, because of the sort of fraught, you know,
right,
relationship
the U.S.
between,
Canadian, the Trump
they are
stuff.
They are not coming
no
in,
kidding.
At the same rate.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I mean, again, I don't want to act like it's like a 75% drop.
No,
it's like
it's,
a 10
it's
to 15.
Noticeable.
For
they,
sure.
They, when you build that many hotel rooms, you notice it when 20% are not occupied.
But let's just, while we're on the subject of Las Vegas, let's talk about Vegas. Vegas has lost its mind.
Oh, it's insane.
Vegas has lost
no
its
question.
Rabbit-ass mind.
No, it's stupid.
Because it, you know, it's a lot like a lot of other things, right? Like,
yeah.
Sports used to be, you know, and I'm going back probably 20, 30, 40 years now, but sports games, NBA games, NFL games used to be accessible for the average man, the average family.
Yes.
You know, it used to be something that you could take your kids to do, and it wasn't going to break the bank, and it wasn't something that you had to save up for. But now sports games have become almost like a rich man's thing.
It is.
A luxury.
Yes.
And that's, you know, Vegas, when Vegas like entered and broke through into pop culture, right, I think about the early days of, like, you know, the mobsters and the cigarette smoke, and like it was gritty. It was almost gritty.
Kind of like Nashville is before its strip mall days.
And then somewhere along the way, and I don't know when, I don't know what period of time, But Vegas started to see itself more as a high-end,
I think, 2000,
experience.
Right when you, 2000.
Yeah.
I was there at the time.
As opposed to, like, hey, this is a gritty part of the country where things are kind of taboo. Come here, go to the strip club, go to the casino, get all your vices, get $3 beers,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
It decided, okay, we're going to get into the show business. Yeah. We're going to get into all these different, you know, venues and things like that. And, you know, then the Raiders moved there.
Yep.
And then, you know, now the WNBA is there. And now MLB is going to be there. And now in,
Golden Knights.
NBA is
going
to be there soon,
right,
at some point.
They're all coming.
So it's just kind of become, I think, honestly, it's lost its way a little bit. Like, I think Vegas should exist as this sort of, you know, I'm not saying that it can't be a nice, bustling city.
Sure.
But I think in terms of taking itself so seriously as, like, oh, we're a destination for showbiz, and
right,
we're
right,
elite of the elite.
Yes.
Like your roots are gambling, taboo,
yes,
vices.
Yes.
Like, that's what you go to Vegas for. I don't want to go to Vegas to watch, you know, a $700 residency.
Right.
You know, that's just not what I want to do.
No, an accessible taboo, not just taboo.
Exactly.
Accessible,
exactly,
taboo.
That was
right?
The allure of Vegas.
Yeah.
But they have completely gotten away from embracing that identity.
It's true.
And, you know, I think they've just jumped the shark. And now you're getting, it costs $150 to breathe out there a day. And maybe it doesn't now because, they come back a little bit to earth
maybe
this year.
But you got, here's the thing. They have so much overhead they've built, though, that
they're
going to have to charge prices. When I lived out there, I lived out in Las Vegas. For those who don't know, I went to UNLV for graduate school. I was there from 1997 to 2000. When I moved out there, you didn't have Mandalay, you didn't have the Bellagio, and you didn't have a lot of the places that have redone or blown up. You know, they had just built Paris.
Yep.
And so that was when it took off. You had Paris, Bellagio, Mandalay Bay, and then the Rio was still hopping. The biggest thing going that was the most expensive ticket was Siegfried and Frickin' Roy, a magic show with lions.
Exactly.
And it was like, that was an expensive ticket. Now, it's way off market. That was one of the reasons why I probably left that market to go get a job elsewhere because, you know, you're consistently going to be low middle. You're not getting middle there.
Now it's Bruno Mars, Maroon 5, Janet Jackson.
They think they're
Lionel
Dubai.
Richie.
Isn't it like Dubai where you fly in and it's supposed to be the upper crust of the upper crust for everything?
You're right. Las Vegas thinks it's Dubai.
It does.
But it's not. No. It's in the middle of a freaking desert.
That's it.
You know, and it's just like one road.
Right. Until we get that boring company that Elon says they're going to put that bullet train or whatever.
That's right. Anyway, yeah. I'll be out there next week. I'm getting some things done, we'll see. Hopefully I can come back in one piece. But anyway, Sammy P will be out there, and maybe I'll come back with the review of that wing place, Naked City.
I think it's a pizza joint, actually. But,
oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, but right. I'm unfamiliar. I thought it was a pizza joint there in Naked City.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come in the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, Eddie FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, Eddie FM, ESPN. Jeff Goodman is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about college basketball. That's what he does. We'll talk to him about the tournament not expanding this year, what that means, if and when he expects it to actually expand. I mean, I think the answer is probably next year, but we can get it from him nonetheless. And then, of course, also want to get his thoughts on Aaron Bradshaw.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know, again, it's just one video. Sorry, I'm having some issues.
No, I thought that... Yesterday, the interesting part was what we discovered about top five over the last 4 years, high school prospects, and I started thinking about, I was having dreams about Aaron Bradshaw.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's only one guy in the top five in the last 6 years that's still playing college basketball.
Yeah.
And that's actually not only not still playing college basketball, but not on an NBA roster.
Right. So, like, I was like, well, take that video. And his size and the odds, and it's like, oh, maybe we got something here.
Yeah. Now, he has said that he was under the impression that he was only that Jason would be here today.
Oh, the Goodman. He was only coming on the show because of your partner.
Yeah, that's what he says.
That would be cap.
But I think he knew. I do think
you
he,
do.
I'm fairly certain that he indeed did understand that it would be
just you solo,
me, myself, and I today. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, hey, this is when boys become men.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like these days.
Well, actually, they become men in a lonely NBA arena with when a co-host abandons their producer and they're just sitting there.
That's right.
And they were not prepared to speak live on
facts.
Radio.
That is facts. And that was part of the, you know, maturation. I will say, like, I don't know.
We're way past that.
I didn't get an email. You got an email. The station got an email yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
That was, I have to say, in the 12 years of doing this show and being on this station. I mean, I've been on the station for 12 years. I haven't been doing the show for that long. But, you know, in the entire time of me being at 92.9, it was the sweetest email I've ever gotten.
Yeah,
and I won't say the gentleman's name because I don't want to...
He's working. He's busy in his office.
He may not want it out. Yeah. But I'll read the gist of it.
Okay.
Because you know we're talking about these kinds of days, and we all need a little bit of morale boost. You know.
Heard that.
And that was this. He said, "Longtime listener, first time emailer. I was just popping in to reminisce with y'all and express how foundational the Jason and John show has been to my transition to Memphis 8 years ago. I'm an Atlanta transplant. I got to Memphis the same year Jason and John went on the air." Came here to finish my master's degree at the University of Memphis. Go Tigers, go. Since then, I've planted roots. Fell in love with the city. I'm expecting my second child later this year. I've grown up with the show. For me, J&J is and will always be Memphis. Jason and John have created a place where the entire city can feel seen and heard. They have a clear love for this city and this city's teams. They want the best for Memphis, and that shows through every single day. We're so lucky to have 92.9. Keep doing what you do. Thanks for responding and giving me the chance to reminisce.
It's a great email.
And, you know, sometimes it's a little interesting, this job, because I don't take for granted like the ease of it. I don't take for granted the fun that it is a lot of the time. It's not perfect. We all have things with our jobs that we don't like or wish were different or whatever the case may be. Radio is no different than that. But, you know, as on the whole, it's a really fun job.
Yeah.
And it's a really easy job. And I'm blessed to have it.
You're good at it.
And what resonated with me about that email was the fact that he said he's grown up with the show, and I find myself thinking about this all the time, because when I got this show back in 2016, I was not married, I had no kids, I was not a homeowner. I mean, I was just a, you know, it's almost impossible to quantify how much my life has changed in that time. You know, now I am married. Now I do have two beautiful children who are, you know, my pride and joy, who I, you know, am fighting for and trying to give, you know, my best to every single day. And I'm a homeowner. I'm a multiple time homeowner now since then. And so just to kind of take stock like that, it's just, you know, time is amazing. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but it has. And I'm a very different man today than I was when I got this show. And
no doubt.
And that's the goal, right? I mean, you want to mature and you want to grow and you want to, you know, and to hear that we could have, you know, any impact on somebody,
yeah,
like anybody. You know, we're not in it for that. I mean, we're not in it to try to impact people's lives necessarily. We're here to try to do an entertaining show. We're here to try to, you know, make your day a little easier or better or more fun or whatever the case may be. But to hear that, you know, somebody moved to Memphis and, you know, put down roots and that our show played any kind of part in that is beyond humbling, and far more of an impact than I think either one of us had ever hoped to make. And, you know, it was a super gracious email. And on a day like this, when there's literally nothing going on, it is the wind beneath my wings.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
It is really, and I appreciate that listener, yeah, for, you know, because honestly, we're in a business where there is no incentive to ever say anything nice.
That's fair.
I mean, I can count on probably two hands over the years the amount of like nice tweets that I've got.
I generally get more feedback about our jobs when something goes wrong, not when something's going supposed to.
That's not just true here.
It's everywhere.
But it's like, right, if you're, yeah, in customer service.
Sure.
Right,
that's when you're going to hear it.
You're never going to say, oh man, you did such a great job today.
That's right.
Like, no, you ruined my entire afternoon with what you did. And I'm going to your manager.
Hammering.
Right. You. And unfortunately, that is the world we live in.
Yeah.
So it's, when you do get an email like that, you know,
that is nice.
I try to savor them because,
yeah,
you know, it's, you know, it is so twisted how our brains operate, is that we almost put more energy. If that email would have said
negative, right,
if it would have been like, you guys are the absolute worst show I've ever heard. I've listened to a lot of radio. I've lived in a lot of places, and you by far are the worst. You're not funny. You're not engaging. You have no idea what you're talking about. I can't even believe that you're allowed to be on the air. Your ratings are terrible. I looked them up. Like, right, if the email would have been that,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. I would have probably not gotten out of bed. You know. But you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm devoting and dedicating the same amount of energy, or if not more so energy, because like, you want to make a positive impact, and we should when that does happen, you know, we should savor it.
I should also give a shout out to Keith Edwards, who is a loyal listener of your show, because Keith is the owner of Game Night Lounge, and he was listening as well, and
familiar.
Was a complimenting you for you know, stopping by his local business.
Well, you're welcome. Hell, like, I mean, I'm broke now.
Yeah, apparently Game Night Lounge is working, bro.
Nah, it was a great place. It was, yeah, a great place. But yeah,
it was nice to get that email. That's why I sent it along, because it's like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, I would have liked to have, you know, gotten that offer before I went, but you know what, I will take it.
Yeah, I would encourage folks, if you do like something though, please send a message about that as well, because we get all the bad ones, and that's pretty self-serving, but it's just true. You know, we don't get many when things are operating like a machine. I got a bad one this morning, and I messed up. I aired a promo that was like 7 years old, and
yeah,
had like two low. And I immediately got an email from, or it was a text from Jeff, and he said, I got an email from a listener to my Daily Memphian, to me. And I said, man, this is awesome. Because even when I get those, I always remind myself that's awesome. And the reason why is, John, they're listening.
That's right. That is a.
And of course, I took it out. It was on the old promo. It was in the, yeah, rotator.
No, I mean, it's great to be heard. It truly is. So
it's a privilege, man.
Anyway, there you have it. Everybody around this time, we did run. Let's go. I mean, it does. It kind of gives you an idea of where we are in the sports calendar. That one of the biggest stories of the day is a sex toy has landed near a WNBA player again. And
oh, it happened again?
Well, it happened yesterday. It happened again yesterday.
That's so, the second time.
I think this is the third one. This is the third such incident.
So this happened after you reported the one from before yesterday.
The first one happened, I believe, two Fridays ago.
Okay.
Golden State and Atlanta. Mm. Then there was a second one, and I can't remember which game that was. And now we have a third.
Which
is last night, Indiana Fever taking on the L.A. Sparks. L.A. Sparks won the game 100-91. But 2:05 left in the second quarter, the green object landed in the lane near Sophie Cunningham, who, as I told you, she has this podcast where she talked about, you know, don't throw it at us, we could get hurt. Then she gets it thrown at her. She jumped back in surprise, and then Kelsey. It's a funny image. It's not funny because I don't advocate for like trying to hurt people with these, but like Kelsey Plum just kicks it, you know, she just kicked it in the stands. It's like, so it's flying back. So it's flying onto the court, and now she kicks it and it's flying at somebody. Oh, so no. Somebody could have got hit in the stands with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So this thing is, it was well traveled.
I'm not laughing at the security element. I'm laughing at the thing that was the foul.
No, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you, right?
There we go.
That's what you're supposed mm-hmm. to say. The Sparks coach said, I think it's ridiculous. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's also dangerous. And player safety is number one. Respecting the game, all those things. I think it's really stupid. Kelsey Plum said she thought both teams did a great job playing on. Don't give it any attention. The refs, too. I really appreciate them, too. Which is like, hey, let's go. Sophie Cunningham walked over to the Sparks bench, was laughing about it. The Fever coach said, we don't know who those people are. We couldn't play the game. People want to see us play. I think it's just that simple, and we can't control everybody's actions. There was a green toy thrown in the second game was Phoenix in New York on Tuesday. The first one was Atlanta last week.
Oh, okay.
So, again, this is the third one. There was also, another incident in Chicago. So this is maybe number four.
We have a fourth ding-a-ling.
So there's just a, and as our friend Sammy pointed out there, you can't buy them on Amazon right now. They're sold out.
Sold out of Green Goblins.
So, I mean, look, I think the implication is, it's a little sexist. It's a little sexist. There's no doubt about that. It's a little, you know. The implication, you know, I mean, we know, but it's still funny. I'm sorry. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's kind of,
it's objectively funny.
Yeah.
Now I don't, again, I'm not advocating anybody get hit in the head with it or, anywhere with it, to be honest. But like, I will say it's number four is getting a little ridiculous. Like, okay, first, second,
out of hand.
First or second. Okay. We can still. But you do not want this to become a thing in every game. That's where I think, you know, like we would not be laughing about this if, you know, mm-hmm. if I don't even know what the equivalent in an NBA game would be.
No, but I will say I find I don't want this to happen either, but I do find it more entertaining than the woman who chained herself to the stance during the playoffs between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Grizzlies, because that held the game up, you know. At least this one, when you get the ding-a-ling thrown on the court, it's over. Like, that person gets, you know, you get the phallus and get it off the court.
That's
like
right.
Like, when the chain woman was doing the chicken stuff, like, that held up the game. That wasn't as good.
Yes. I mean, that definitely, I mean, no, this held up the game, too.
Well, how long do they investigate it? Don't you just throw the phallus off and you rock and roll like a spilled drink, or what do you do? You have to, like, oh, he's up there.
Yeah.
Like the Zapruder film? Like, what do you do?
I think they probably will investigate it after the game.
They'll get the film and they'll break it down who threw that thing.
The man, they did finally name the Atlanta Dream Golden State thrower.
Okay.
Delbert Carver is his name.
What's up with Del?
He got arrested.
Yeah.
He's 23 years old. And you know, I mean, maybe he was just trying to be funny, I don't know, like but he got arrested and was charged with disorderly conduct, public indecency / indecent exposure, and criminal trespass. And he was banned, of course, from going to the WNBA games. WNBA said in a statement, the safety and well-being of everyone in our arenas is a top priority for our league. Objects of any kind thrown on the court or in the seating area can pose a safety risk for players, game officials, and fans. In line with WNBA arena security standards, any fan who intentionally throws an object onto the court will be immediately ejected and face a minimum one-year ban in addition to being subject to arrest and prosecution by local authorities. So, I do think there is an implication of this league is not serious. That's why we're throwing these things. We don't respect it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't respect.
Yeah, you're demeaning the game.
Right, right. Like, we don't respect this league, so we're going to throw sex toys on the court. You know, I think that's you know, I would never do that. I joked about it. I would never actually do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't.
Let alone go through the measures that it would require.
Yeah, you'd have to put it in your pants.
I have to, you know, may have to sit on it.
Yeah, that's no good.
Because there's
no place for it to go.
I don't know. I don't want to find out.
No.
You know, it's not really my desire to smuggle that in.
Heard that.
You know, I respect the ladies. I respect everybody. I want to go. I want to enjoy the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw anything. So, anyway, I think, look, guys are getting arrested. You know, I assume they'll continue to get arrested. And so it'll stop.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to go to jail over that?
No, it's stupid. But a 23-year-old, a lot of 23, I shouldn't generalize. You know,
but I mean, I assume that's mostly probably.
That's the demo. He's probably throwing the things, you know? Like, nothing major to lose. You're young, probably a little drinking. You're talking to your buddies. You're like, this has become a thing. Let's go to the game tonight. And then, hey, who's got, you know, where do you get? Yeah, it's stupid. It's just think that's funny. It's people who think that's funny, and it's not funny. We're trying to watch the NBA game, the WNBA game, and, like, it's disrespectful.
Yes. You know? I mean, again, I'm not trying to be, like, woke or, like, whatever, but, like, you shouldn't be throwing.
It is disrespectful.
Strap-ons.
This is the – and yeah. But here's – you brought up the point that WNBA has become a little not fun, and I think the conundrum, the problem, the challenge they're working through here is being fun, being a cool league – as female athletes and being taken seriously. So you have multiple things that you have to do. You have to be taken seriously. We are athletes. We should be paid like athletes, high-level athletes. We have a draft. And, oh, by the way, we have these super entertaining and fun games. So, you know, you got this clown who's like, yeah, you think you're funny and you're serious, or you're not fun, you're serious, and you guys are real basketball players. Well, watch this. And then, you know, a little Johnny, 23-year-old, goes out there with a green one.
Yeah. So this is just the new thing that they're having to deal with, and
this won't be the last though. If this is going to keep, I mean, this is the fourth incident,
right?
Ugh.
Yeah. No, I mean it may not be the last.
You're going to walk through a Spark security and on the side there, instead of seeing metal objects, you're going to see these. Like,
is there any way to detect rubber?
I bet that,
or whatever the material is.
I bet there's some smart person like Robert Pera who could create a device instead of it catching the metal when you walk into a FedEx Forum or an arena like that, that it gets the grainies.
Well, I don't think Robert Pera is interested in that. You know,
I mean, he put internet in the middle of, like, jungles and stuff.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, that was, like, for the less fortunate.
Yeah, that was a good service, though. But this is kind of for the women, for the ladies of the WNBA. We're creating a service.
I think Robert Pera is probably in the mindset of he has a lease to negotiate.
Yeah, I don't think he's in that mindset, to be honest with you, at this point.
And he needs to focus on the
least. I don't think he's focused on that.
Not trying to solve the world's problems, Brad. Yeah. All right? He needs to focus on here at home.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what they do. I mean, I have no clue. It's just beyond me what you could possibly do in terms of trying to, because either way, like, you're either going to have this, or you're going to significantly, like, you can't even begin to thoroughly search everybody that would go to a WNBA game. Like,
no.
You know, maybe in 1999 you'd have been able to search 340 people, but you can't do that in 2025. Yes. Lots of people go now.
Yeah, I guess you can't really search for these plastics, these phalluses.
Yeah, so, there was another one last night. I mean, Kelsey Plum kicked the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could have been just as much a liability.
Is there video of it?
Oh, yeah, there's totally video of it. I mean, you should find it, because even the commentary is kind of funny. Like,
kicks.
I just don't. It'll be all on Twitter, you know, Brad. You got to go on Twitter. That's how you got to do it, man. That's the way it goes in 2025. It's all there. That's where things get posted first.
Before halftime.
Oh, look out. Something just came onto the floor.
Wow, you stressed that long.
Got an object that just flew in as the free throw was being made. And it looked like that hit a player, too. You see some fans pointing to who the potential guilty culprit could be. We've seen this going on now around through the league, Mary, and it's It's ridiculous. It's got to stop.
Shameful, ridiculous.
This time a player, it looked like a player got hit. The joke isn't funny.
Nope.
You're putting people at harm, and there's a lot of people that come here to pay their good hard-earned money to come watch a game
and players,
to have it interrupted
exactly right.
by some foolishness.
Here to do some work.
Yeah. They're here to do some work.
Unfortunate verbiage from
Very
the announcer
so.
At the, at that, the that, out of the jump there.
He was one and done. I don't think he said anything else after that line.
No.
I think he realized, like, damn.
Whoops.
Like, let the outraged person take over, please. All right? Let them handle it, because you can't. You're not mature enough, buddy. I mean, come on. Of all the things.
I'm sorry to laugh at that.
I mean, like, by the way, who talks like that?
Something came on the floor.
Well, he said in. He said something came into the floor.
That's exactly what he said.
First of all, you can't. That's not even correct
no!
usage of the entire.
He couldn't wait to say that word.
And then I think he took his headset off and walked away. That's what I think that guy did.
I'm sorry.
That was a guy, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Because I didn't hear him again
God.
For the rest of
no,
the
he,
exchange.
No, she just became. The,
I think he actually made her mad. That's when she started to go off on her tangent. She was like, this is stupid. This is immature. People come here to watch a game. And then he just has his stupid one-liner.
Yeah, he got it off.
Yeah.
Literally.
And you're no better. You're just like him.
Sorry.
But, I mean, I just, like, that shit, like.
Oh, my God.
If I saw that happen, I would not say something came into the floor. Yeah. I would say something was thrown onto the floor.
It appears we have an object that's been thrown onto the playing court,
no, but
ladies and gentlemen.
It's for him, it's come into the floor. I mean, that's just terrible.
Oh,
like, okay, so there's
I'm
two
five,
things.
I'm sorry.
There's two things that I would say if I was the network here. One is either you're part of the problem, or two, you're a terrible communicator.
Yeah.
Which is it? Which is it? Because, I mean, no regular human being who would see that happen would say that, say those words in succession the way you said them, unless you're part of the problem. You're part of the patriarchy that we're trying to fight here.
You need to clean it up.
And so, yeah, no, it'll nobody was in the mood to laugh last night on the broadcast, clearly.
No.
But I understand this is number four. This is incident number
four. It's the fourth one.
We're getting up there.
It's not going to stop. It might have actually jumped the it's like part of the WNBA lexicon now. It's like strange.
Very possible. Very possible. But anyway, yeah, there you have it. All right, I talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the show, but a couple things have been made official by ESPN. They're acquiring the NFL Network and Red Zone from the NFL in exchange for equity stake. And, you know, again, it's going to end up being like three additional NFL games per season, which would give ESPN 28. NFL Network will continue to show seven games per season, with some games shifting to NFL Network from ESPN's original schedule. We don't know the dates in those games yet, but all of the ESPN-owned games will air on linear and ESPN's direct-to-consumer. So all of this is just like this amassing of properties for this direct-to-consumer thing, right? Mm. I don't know if the goal is to eventually just say we don't need cable anymore or whatever the case may be, but they're just amassing properties. They're amassing all these IPs, NFL, inside the NBA, also WWE now, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, two night events, big time premium live events. They have the UFC like you talked about. Now, I think they might be renegotiating that. Like, we're going to have to see. I don't know if that's guaranteed.
Well, and UFC might even jump to Netflix or something like that.
Yeah.
They've been toying with Netflix
exactly.
a little bit.
Exactly. So I do think that that deal might be coming up. But, yeah, it expires at the end of 2025.
Oh, okay.
And they said that they're in no rush. UFC is in no rush to close that new broadcast rights deal. So yes, they may be they may say, "Hey, listen, we're getting overshadowed now by WWE," even though UFC and WWE are like the same TKO, right? Same people.
Right.
But WWE is just amassing. It's just becoming this monolith. And it always kind of was that, even when it didn't have the properties. But like, what does ESPN not have at this point?
They have everything.
They have, I mean, they have.
Now they're getting rid of MLB after this year, but it's not valuable. They've determined that Major League Baseball is a play that they're not willing to go into.
Right. You have,
basketball. Yeah. They've doubled down on NBA. They doubled down now on NFL, UFC, WWE. Those are the big four because hockey blows. Baseball, they've determined they don't need. So they've got everything.
They have college basketball.
Yeah, they're the big ones in that too now.
I mean, most of it, right? I mean,
the and then on the streaming packages, yeah.
FS1 has, you know, some of it, but most of it is on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, yeah. Whatever.
College football,
they have,
I guess.
They have a ton of college football.
And the SEC Network.
They have the SEC Network. So I don't know, like, I can't remember what the situation is with the SEC and the CBS. Like, did
they, that's right, yeah. Didn't they do something?
Yeah, so, okay, so it that's so even it is gone. So that now is on ABC.
Okay.
So college football on CBS is now, you know, on, I believe the SEC moved to CBS, or to ABC, I should say.
Which I guess is technically ESPN-ish.
Yeah, in 2019, yeah, I mean, it's all the same parent company. I mean, right. ABC, ESPN is all Disney. Mm-hmm. So CBS declined to renew its rights to SEC football in 2019, with that package ultimately going to ABC in 2024.
Right.
So, I mean, we have SEC football on ABC, ESPN. CBS does have some Big Ten football, but, you know, in terms of like us and here in Memphis, we don't really, I mean, we're not really as much Big Ten people. So,
right.
SEC is going to be ESPN. College basketball is ESPN. Inside the NBA is ESPN. WWE is ESPN. UFC for now is ESPN. NFL is ESPN. This show is ESPN. Well, anything. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I don't know how that's supposed to make you feel. I don't know if that's supposed to be like. It seems like people are. You know, people do not like the idea of one company, one network owning everything. But no. That is where this thing is inevitably headed.
They're signing these entities up so they can have a direct to consumer product that they're going to roll out as one redone thing for consumers. Is they've kind of announced that. This will be part of their direct consumer package. But I think there's a new direct consumer package that will come soon. That's the way I'm reading this. Like right now you've got ESPN, which is part of your cable, in our case, YouTube TV. That's what I have. And I get ESPN and I get ESPN2 and I get ESPN News and ESPNU. That eventually there will be a situation where it's an a la carte menu. If you want the Super Football package, you pay X. So you're spending more money than you're already spending, basically, as a consumer.
Well, you're going to have to get the DTC if you have YouTube TV, is my understanding. Like, you're not.
What is that?
It's their.
A direct to consumer. That's a different package than my $75
Correct.
That keeps escalating
Correct.
Payment.
It
right
launches
now.
August 21st.
I hate, that's what I, consumers hate that, and I hate that, because all you want is to buy one bill and pay $70-$80 and be done, and it keeps going up. Like, that's what sucks.
But
that's the sucky part.
You know, what I might argue is that because ESPN now has NFL Network, right?
Okay.
That you don't need YouTube TV anymore.
I can hear this. Go there for me.
I mean, if you get ESPN DTC Unlimited, that's $29.99 a month, right?
Yeah.
You get ESPN, you get ESPN2, you get ESPNU, you get SEC Network, you get ACC Network, you get ESPN News, in addition to ESPN on ABC, ESPN Plus, ESPN3, SEC Network Plus, and ACC Network X.
You can get rid of your cable bundle.
And you can bundle opportunities with Disney Plus and Hulu.
I see.
Which, again, is $29.99 a month for the first 12 months. It doesn't say anything about the NFL Network here, but because they're acquiring it, I have to assume it would be on this.
But Red Zone would cost you an extra a la carte fee.
Right. So Red Zone is going to be extra. That is true. Red Zone is... But
it always has.
Isn't Red Zone going to be on the ESPN DTC? Isn't that the whole thing?
Yes.
So it would not then, perhaps. I don't know exactly like where, you know, I'm not in there. I don't know exactly like what their plan is to where they're going to put every single thing.
So
Google, I mean, that's
says,
what I would do.
Yeah, Google says Red Zone on DTC means that the NFL Red Zone channel is now available as a premium add-on to NFL Plus direct-to-consumer streaming. They haven't figured that out. I'm assuming it'll be part of this DTC. You can buy it.
Yeah, so beginning with the 2026 NFL draft, Disney Plus, Hulu will also stream ESPN, ABC, and ESPN Deportes trio of draft presentations. All offerings will be available on ESPN DTC. So I don't, again, red zone, I'm trying to find, like, is that, okay, so, yeah, NFL Plus Premium, like you said. I don't know if that's a separate thing. I don't know. It just seems crazy. But
you'll still want, but see, if I want Monday Night Football, then that's on my normal streaming cable. Is that what you're saying, where I don't need YouTube?
Monday Night Football would be available on this DTC.
Oh, yeah, it'd
app.
Be on ESPN
because,
still.
Yeah.
They own that,
those.
Too.
Yeah.
Of course.
So the only thing that you would not get would be, like, you know, Amazon Prime Video, which would be Thursday night, but you know, you got to have that anyway.
Sure.
I don't really know what would be left. I mean, if you feel like you need CBS Sports Network, if you feel like you need FS1, you'd have to have YouTube TV for that. But outside of that,
you get rid of it. Maybe I could.
Now I can't because of
kids.
Sunday Ticket.
Oh,
Sunday Ticket is only available on YouTube TV.
What's that cost?
I think it's like $350 a year.
But did you get them all?
I get $350 of use out of that easy.
Easy.
Yeah, that's not even a debate.
Yeah.
And I just write it off on my taxes.
That's easy.
I have so many.
Well, it's part of your job.
Yeah, I just write it off.
It makes sense.
It's not really that difficult. Yeah. But if you know, it is nice. It is nice to have some jobs where I can write some stuff off at the end of the year. You know what I mean? Love that.
Sports oriented ones.
And believe me, I do. Yeah. And this ESPN DTC is getting written off.
Right.
Bet your ass.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we're entering a new frontier, and that frontier is basically going to be Mickey Mouse. It's just going to be Disney. Yeah. And look, I'm a fan of Disney. All right, let me be totally clear about that. I love Disney. My kids love Disney. So all good.
Right.
All good on my end.
No, it's fun. They may have a good product and a brand.
I'm sure, like, you know, you go to the Disney parks.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be an NFL component coming.
Facts.
They had an NBA thing.
Really?
Yeah. They had an NBA thing down there, and I think they did away with it. Like, you could go.
It didn't resonate, I guess, or it didn't hit?
I don't think they really know what they were doing, but you could go there, and you could, like, stand and, like, measure your wingspan.
Right.
With, like, gets KD hand size and stuff, you know?
That is not as enchanting as somewhere over the rainbow or the, you know, the castle or some of the other rides for kids.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I think ESPN, when they acquired the Disney and they merged, I think there was, because they put that Wild World of Sports, and I think there was initially this idea that these two worlds would come together. And I think with the advent of the sports gambling age now, I think that's not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how you merge those two worlds. They're both great. One's for dad, one's for kid.
Mm-hmm.
But for the little kids, like, they're just doing tournament baseball and being on their own. They're not worried. Maybe I'm being naive.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, yeah, new time, no question about that, in the media world, in sports, and we're just going to have to keep paying. That's the moral of the story. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Goodman's going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about, maybe we'll get into a little bit of this. He used to work at ESPN, so I'm sure he's got some thoughts. We'll also get into college basketball and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Trying to Fam, ESPN. Black Tie Movement is changing, moving the city of Memphis. No matter where you happen to be, no matter where you're moving, they can handle that for you. Get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. They are here to help, whether you're moving out of town, cross country. They are the best. Look up the reviews. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I've used them on two separate occasions, and if I need to do it again, I will. Happily use Black Tie Moving. But you got to get on the schedule. Call them today. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Black Tie Moving, change and moving in the city of Memphis. So we got the FESJC here in town this weekend. I drive by it every day on the way to work, you know, the setup there. I know they were doing some pro-am stuff. I got to say, man, you know, pretty pricey to get on out there.
What's what are the ticket prices?
I looked it up today just because I had a buddy text me, and he was like, hey, man, like, you got a hookup? Everybody's looking for a hookup.
No, we don't have a hookup.
We do not have a hookup. So we can speak freely and honestly, can't we?
Yes.
not that we don't do that anyway.
But want it to be successful. It's in the big event in our city.
Sure.
But
to walk the greens, and this is just like to get, you know, grounds. I think that's what they call it.
You're just getting a
grounds
pass.
Access.
Yeah, this is no VIP, no getting into special places.
That's right.
Okay.
It's $88.
Is that including tax? And are you going to get to a
C-note? That's fees.
That's with the fees?
It's $81 with fees.
But one day.
Yes, that does not cover Parking, it does not cover any food or drink that you may consume while you are there. You know, so if you and, you know, a family of four are to go to the golf tournament, it's going to, you know, run you $700.
With food and getting in there and parking,
I mean, it, maybe not $700, but I mean...
You're at a 500 at minimum.
Yeah, so it's $320 just to get the tickets on the grounds.
You're 500.
And then, you know, you're going to have to... you're going to spend probably $150 on food, I would say, food and drink. So that gets you to... Okay, so it's like $500. $500 for a family of four. And, you know, I don't know how that compares. I don't know what the prices were before it became, you know, a playoff. I would assume that it's gone up.
I think it was in that $70 range before.
But you know, I it depends. Like, maybe if you're a golf fan, that's just a something that you're willing to pay. You know, like you're.
I'm making business decisions for this weekend, and all of it's based on weather. It'll be me and Jake, or me solo, and you know, and with friends to get into this place. I don't have a hookup either. Like, I'll be paying $100. Plus the parking and walking my butt in there. Because I think that the turnout is always based on weather, even more so than the money. Although the money, that's a lot for a ticket. Like, but I will say the field, short of having Rory, is about as good as it could be, you know?
Right, right.
Be nice to have Rory. Do you get a discount for not having Rory? I take it not. It
seems like not.
No.
I mean, I think, but he, you know, he's been honest and open about not planning this thing probably, you know, for a better part of 10 months.
I'm being negative. You got Justin Thomas. You got, you know, Scheffler is the big draw.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I mean, you got some some guys here.
You got the dudes.
You know, I'm glad we've gotten to a place now where we don't sit around asking ourselves like idiots, is Tiger going to play here?
Yeah, that was always the thing.
Every single year, that's what we do.
It would be Phil coming as a de facto star, that's and right. then is Tiger going to play this or not? And at least it's a championship. That's why, obviously, Phil's old now, you know?
I just remember when this thing turned into a – because we got it from, Akron or something?
Yeah.
And I just remember when that happened so many years ago, it was like, no, yeah, Tiger's finally going to play. He never has even come close to playing here. No. Because like the one year that he might have played here, I think it was like an Olympic year.
Yep.
And it's just not going to happen, man. It's just not. It's just never going to happen for us and old Eldrick. But – yeah, I mean, in terms of the field itself, you can't ask for more. Mm-hmm. I guess you could ask for Rory if you'd like.
That'd be nice.
But, you know, I'm just not – it may shock you. I'm not the guy that's going to just walk the grounds and just, like, follow – like, I'm just not going to do that. If I was going to do it, I would get, like, a tent. I would get, like, a pass at the Michelob Ultra tent, and I would just park it there.
That's fun.
I wouldn't walk around.
You don't follow a group.
Absolutely not.
If the weather is right – like, I followed Jon Rahm 2 years ago. And I enjoyed the hell out of that. It was hot as Hades. This weekend, the weather is good. When it's not hot as hell, it's awesome.
Yeah.
When it's hot as hell, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
It's tough.
Right.
Like, my butt would be in the tent with you. And because it's too much to walk, you know, even 9 to 18 holes in that when you're not playing. Now, if I got my cart and I get my booze, you know, and I'm rolling, I'm all in. But I ain't playing, you know, I'm watching... You know, Justin Thomas hit a 9-iron over the under the little new island green.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So
course looks good.
I mean, the course is always going to look good. You know, if you're a Scottie Scheffler fan, I mean, again, for me, he wins, but it's kind of like the Thunder.
Yeah.
It's like the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's like they don't really play this extremely exciting brand of basketball. They do win.
No, they're effective.
And they win a lot, and they won the finals. But, like, I think Scottie Scheffler's like the Oklahoma City of golf. You know, he just kind of gets it done. He just handles his business, and that's you know, he's not going to curse. I mean, he did get arrested, I guess, but
technically,
that was a one-off.
Yeah,
and it was a clear mistake. You know, if he gets arrested on purpose, then I would say I'm in.
DeChambeau, I feel like, is worth following if you're into something extraordinary because he just winds up so hard, and these are these long fairways, and he tries to absolutely obliterate the golf ball. You know,
yeah,
he can be fun.
Let's look at let's consult my old friend Kalshi here.
Oh yeah, the Kalshi odds.
And let's see who's. I mean, obviously.
Well, they have something on this particular tournament, or the FedEx Championship in general.
It's
maybe.
The FedEx St. Jude Championship winner.
Oh, they have an actual winner of this tournament.
This is going to shock you.
Let's hear it.
Scottie Scheffler's the favorite.
Of course. Yeah, well, there you go. What's the number?
Plus 280.
So I don't lower know, odds than I thought it would be.
I don't know how that compares. You know what I'm
that
saying?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
To like let's just
and that's he's really a favorite.
Let's do some shopping here.
Okay.
So he's 280 at Caesars as well.
Okay.
So I mean it's basically market wide plus 280.
They like him.
So 100 would pay out 380. so you know, up to you if that's your flow. Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood,
yep.
Ludvig Åberg, Matt Fitzpatrick, Justin Thomas. I like Justin Thomas because I did see he posted on Instagram
Memphis Raps stuff.
Yes.
You want to go through it?
Now there was a little bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Because he included Young Buck in there.
Saw that.
Young Buck, not Memphis Rap.
Oh.
He's from Nashville.
So we can't, well, yeah. They claim Elvis. Why can't we claim him?
The rest of it was, yes, the rest of it was Memphis Rap, okay. But there was a Young Buck, you know, sneaky one in there.
Yeah.
But again, I'm fine with that. Like, you know, you came into Memphis and you had the right idea, my man.
He's got Moneybag in there and Glorilla.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody else was Memphis Rap except Young Buck.
Do you co-sign the list outside of Young Buck?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had, you know, Memphis Rap in there, so I'm fine with it. Right. But so Justin Thomas, 25. If I was going to bet 25 to 1, now probably, you know, nobody's going to beat Scottie Scheffler. So I may play plus 450 to finish in the top five.
Oh, there you go.
Plus 220 to finish in the top 10. My